It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Woo!
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 Ow!
Love that money!
Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soce. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can read at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
What the hell was that?
You don't know?
Thus the me asking, what the hell was that?
Joan? Where's that come from?
It's going swimmingly, Kobe. Why don't you tell us?
Which thing?
Oh, my God.
The first thing in the opening? In the opening?
No.
The bit after the mentioning of my name by the one and only Scott Hope.
Talladega Nights.
Oh, right. The less funny Anchorman crew.
It's so tough.
It's different. It is tough to talk, so.
And it is different.
I see.
Different time.
The jerky voice you hear there, that's Kobe Slagle. He likes creating audio nuggets. See, I give the aura like I know every single funny line in a movie ever made. I don't always. But I apparently give off the aura that I do. And that's okay. So
he pulls up his black socks.
I do pull up my black socks on the front stoop. That joke was done in 1965. Percy Mayfield.
Are you going to say Percy Pringle?
Oh, jeez. Really, is that how the show is going to be? Just, you know, random references, not just by me, but by you? Now, we have company. We have guests.
Yes.
So... And as honored in my imaginary contract, I must be surrounded by smart women at all times. It just makes things easier and better. So, ladies, if you could verbally sign in, and I'll explain why you're here.
I'm Mia Lee Roberts,
and I'm Lynn Berger,
and they are members of Comedy Sports, who have their 20th anniversary tomorrow at the. Way to whistle on radio.
Thank you.
At the Athenaeum tomorrow at the red carpet is at 6, award show at 7, and a match. Yeah, I don't know if it'll be a scaffolding match or a barbed wire match. How about that, Kobe? If you're going to bring up Percy Pringle, how about some old-fashioned wrestling nights, huh? Yeah, that's what I thought. Texas Tornado? Whatever. And we have a new member of the WFYI family. We say that with a lowercase F.
Joan Heinbrook.
Welcome. So now she's going to be... taking Kobe's job, not this job, God no.
Yeah.
It takes a whole different type of person to do this job, but in your day job,
yes,
here at WFYI, mm-hmm. and then you're going into another lateral move.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you'll still be here.
Yes, I will still be here.
Providing us with sound clips that I don't always know, despite the fact that maybe people think I do.
Yep. You got it.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, this show's going really well.
I'm glad that's settled. I feel much better.
Yes, we can. I think, can we start the show now?
We can start the show.
All right, very good.
We're 4 minutes in.
That's usually good, because usually there's about 10 minutes of food debate that has nothing to do with the show. But I did interview a chef earlier today.
Oh.
But that's not for today or tomorrow. All right, opening in theaters today, we have Side Effects, which is the latest and could possibly be the last film directed by Steven Soderbergh. With Jude Law and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Could be the last?
He says
it's the last.
He says he's going to retire from feature filmmaking, but it's not from directing. There's actually a very good article. It's, oh my goodness, Vulture, I believe, is the website, but it's a conversation with him about this last film. He says he wants to do theater. He wants to do TV. That he's developing a series. So, but as far as the yearly annual grind of putting out a picture a year, he might be done. But he seems...
Is he going to be like Jay-Z and say he retires and then come back 2 or 3 years later?
And no, he's not going to get Beyonce pregnant.
I hope not.
You really don't know that, do you?
No, I don't.
Well,
I'm just speculating.
It could happen.
Could be, if, now, that would be some... That would be a good-looking and smart baby that every other film people would see. But so anyway, there's a good write-up on him in that. But of course he's less garish and d-baggy about his retirement than say Tarantino. But we'll see it again if that actually happens.
Tarantino's retiring also?
He says he wants to retire soon.
I personally am ready for that.
Afraid not. No, not a fan of Django Unchained.
No, I liked it. I liked the story. I can't, and I knew what I was getting myself into.
Right.
All the blood and the brains and the guts and the blood.
Okay. To be fair, there's only really two or three moments in the 2-hour and 40-minute film that there is all the brains and the blood and the guts.
I disagree.
You
there
disagree?
Was a lot of blood and brains.
Really?
And guts.
Really?
I
mean,
thought
the,
there was a
the
lot.
The last very... 30 minutes, I don't argue with you. Absolutely the last 30 minutes.
And that's probably what has stuck with me.
Which is why I said what I said, and then you disagreed with me, and now you've agreed with me.
I know.
Boy, it's like TV news. This
right. I agree
great.
With you now.
She's challenging you, that's all.
You're wrong! Oh, I'm sorry. Now it is Fox News. All right.
Counterpoint.
You're right, exactly. That was my takeaway.
But I get what you're saying, that people think of the very bloody... I think, of course, the scene with the dogs. That's particularly really not pleasant. So, yeah. But I'm with you.
Okay.
But no, he made a reference to... He made a point of comparing a filmmaker like Billy Wilder, whose films in the 70s were not the best. They you know what, they weren't pot boilers, Kobe. Again, more obscure references between the two of us.
It's but, like an hour of inside jokes.
I know it is. but he's thinking about, like, you know, directors who have gone off the boil and are just keep on working, and it kind of brings down the overall of their filmography. We'll see. Again, it's I'll believe Soderbergh retires from directing when he actually does. So there is that. There's Identity Theft, or you get one starring vehicle if you're nominated for an Academy Award. That's for Melissa McCarthy. So, and it's with Jason Bateman playing Jason Bateman, and it's from the director of Horrible Bosses. And I didn't get a chance to see that one either. But Rex Reed apparently does not like Melissa McCarthy.
And
you
think?
Saw that? You saw? Oh,
love her.
Yes, I'm intrigued with it, but the fact that this is a starring vehicle and she doesn't just come off the bench and do about 5 minutes worth of work like she did in This Is 40 and other pictures. So that is also opening. But I'm very excited because over the last few years, of course, the Academy Awards are coming up in a couple of weeks, but I thought it's been really smart that they put out the Oscar-nominated short films as a package. And it can come to cities, because I remember as a kid, they would get to the short. And yes, I still watch the Academy Awards from start to finish. It's the only award show I care about. Judge as you will. But I would hear about these titles, and I don't know when I'm going to see them. Back then, they would occasionally pop up on PBS, and that was it.
Right. Never in the movie theater.
Never in the theater. So
here, anyway.
No, I mean, well, other places too. But yeah, it is, we are indie, so we're still getting some of the stuff that's trickling down, especially in the foreign department. But yeah, the short films are out. Now, at one point they used to give us screeners, but of course, members of the press, they think we're going to bootleg them. So now you can look at them online, which is fine. but the kids film, what are we calling M&L?
Well, she's under reassignment.
That's right. Formerly Emma Sosi, the kids film correspondent, but we're coming up with a new title, but not any raise in pay.
Yeah, we haven't been really working very hard on that because we've been talking about that for like 3 weeks now.
Well, she hasn't bothered me. I've not been given an ultimatum from the child. Either the title goes or I go. And that's okay. I'm all right. So anyway, Emma and I, we watched these last night. And now... Going on the website, I got to see three of the five live-action shorts. Two of the files just didn't work. But these are the five animated features that open. And again, you get a chance to see something that you're not going to see anywhere else. Two of these are actually fairly well. One is one we've seen before. The other is a vehicle that we're familiar with. But the other three, very cool. This was actually a pretty good crop. We started with Paper Man, which was the black and white short before Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh.
Where the guy awesome. Meets girl, guy throws paper airplanes to get girl's attention,
yes.
and so on and so forth. So
love
that's
that.
That's up there, very sweet. And then it's less than 2 minutes long, but there's one called Fresh Guacamole, which kind of has a Wallace and Gromit animation feel, but it's about making guacamole, but it incorporates everyday objects and makes it look like a guacamole dish. For instance, you see a pair of hands take a knife to a hand grenade, and they cut it open, and it's an avocado. And inside the center is a billiard ball. And then, I know, I'm getting looks like I Bill Walton.
Hand grenade isn't an everyday object.
It is. Not in your world.
No.
But it's an everyday object.
No.
It's out there.
Your world?
Not my world.
It's out there.
Nobody in our world. It's out there. Wow. And anyway, what do I bother? So anyway, very, very clever. Like they take a baseball and it cuts into and they cut it up like an onion, but the little bits, onion bits, they're actually dice. And guess what they use for chips?
I get it.
Poker chips.
Ah.
Yeah, not there. There you go. Also up is a film called Head Over Heel, which is a couple in a household. One lives on the ceiling, not like the Lionel Richie song, and the other lives on the floor.
Is it just one heel?
No. Oh, you mean the title?
Yeah.
Yes, it's Head Over Heel, singular.
It's a little out of the ordinary.
It's like this show. Fridays at 5 on HD2. Then we have Adam and Dog, which is a dog roaming through what looks like it's roaming through the jungle, and then it meets the Adam.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Of Adam and Eve fame.
Yes, and things they become pals until, of course, Eve shows up.
Is he naked?
With a dog?
No, Adam.
Yes.
I don't know why I want to know that. It just popped into my head.
We're glad you asked, and now we have it on tape.
And Eve is just a big
curious.
Rib that turns into guacamole. Never mind.
Clever.
We'll have to work on that.
And the dog's naked, too?
Your dogs generally are, unless you're one of those people that puts clothes on animals, which is ridiculous. Because
only monkeys. Clothes on monkeys is funny.
Clothes on monkeys?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Not dogs, not cats.
I beg to differ.
I think it can be cute on dogs, but cats look just like they want to kill you if you put clothes on them. Not that I've ever done it.
Cope, do you ever try putting clothes on a cat?
Clothes, no, but Frankie does have a bow tie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's acceptable.
Yeah. Completely. It was a holiday bow tie.
Does he tie it himself?
No, it's a Velcro thing.
Whatever.
It wasn't your idea, was it?
Actually, no, it was.
Oh, gosh.
It was for the Christmas card.
Oh, the Christmas. Right. You guys, you had your picture taken.
You
had the photo taken at Sears. All right, Eric, get in. Hey, could you get the cat to stop moving?
We went to Olin Mills on a Sunday afternoon. There wasn't anybody there.
That's sad.
I don't even think those are still around anymore.
I don't know. It was my first job.
I think it was
really?
That was your first job?
Selling pictures on the phone. I was a telemarketer for Olin Mills.
Wow.
I know.
How long?
Oh, probably 2 or 3 years. I was a teenager.
You were a telemarketer for 2 to 3 years?
I was a teenager again.
No, I don't know what that has to do with anything. I think just the concept of badgering people on the phone for 2 or 3 years. That's incredible.
I'd love to talk.
We know that. But you're not selling us something. Well, I'm sorry. Comedy Sports, Anthony AM tomorrow night.
What do you mean I'm not selling?
I stand corrected. That's okay. And
thank
finally,
you.
Of the five, there's another one called The Longest Daycare, and it is a short feature, short animated cartoon for Maggie Simpson.
So it's
a 20th Century Fox Simpsons short where Maggie is taken to the Ayn Rand School for Tots.
I love it.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a fun lot. And going through, let's see, 20, 30, you know, the five animated shorts round up to be less than 50 minutes. So now granted, if you're seeing something at night, obviously there's high costs and there's parking and there's snacks, especially when you're going to a certain a theater that would carry a film like the Oscar-nominated Shorts, and there's a bar. It's worth it. Give give the smaller films a chance to be seen. So,
I agree.
That's
Sounds
out
great.
There. And then in the live action shorts, there is Death of a Shadow, not the Shadow, because only evil. Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? Alec Baldwin in the '90s knows. thank you. And we have a gentleman who made a deal with death, but he's not playing chess with them. And it's taking pictures of people, and it's complicated, and I don't feel like giving it away. Then we have Curfew, where which seems like if you cross the film, you can count on me. If Sylvia Plath had written it, where a gentleman is, thank you, and a brother who's estranged from his sister and her daughter, and he has to fill in as a babysitter for one night. Bukkake Boys. I interviewed one of the filmmakers, I believe one of the producers of this film, which you can check out at Film Sociology blog back from the Canterbury Chats during Heartland. So those are out there as well. So anyway, you have two chances. You have a chance to see these, and they're available separately. So, you know, make a triple feature. No. Ten. What do you call a ten? What's a ten piece? You're Mr. Bandman.
I don't know.
You don't know?
It's a 10-piece.
Deca something?
Is it a dectet?
Probably.
You've never played a dectet on your show?
No.
By the way, Kobe Sligo, host of The Cool Down.
Yeah.
Saturdays at 7 o'clock
on
HD2.
Celebrating the music of Carnival and some hard samba tomorrow night.
Yes, for your Brazilian music fix here at WFYI. Do you have Sir Ben? Because I think, yeah.
Yes!
There you go.
There we go. So, all right.
Go see those.
Yes, go see those. All right, I'm going to move around the panel. It makes it sound like it's a new show. new or old, what have you seen recently? Mia?
I saw Zero Dark Thirty.
Yes. And?
I enjoyed it very much. You're giving me a look.
I just want to be interrogated by Jessica Chastain, as I think everybody wants to, but that's a different story.
I don't, really.
You don't?
I wouldn't enjoy that.
Okay.
However, it was really good. I didn't have high hopes going in.
Okay. All right.
But I left feeling like I got my money's worth.
Most definitely.
Yes.
Good. Then?
Okay, well, you said new or old.
Well,
so.
Now, you told me off air that you haven't watched anything. You only watch stuff that's 30 and 40 years old.
Well, that's not exactly true. I watch stuff when it gets on TV.
That's fine.
But
it's okay.
You know what?
What?
I do love old movies. And I saw, again, because I've seen it before, if you never watch silent films, you should, because they can be really good. I saw Sunrise, which is an Oscar winner.
So and you're prepared for the season.
Yes, and it's an excellent film. And I saw part of it as I was not asleep last night.
Oh, you can sleep.
Well, what do you mean? No, I did sleep through part of it. But...
Oh, you slept through power. I thought it was one of these, you couldn't sleep in the middle of the night and
flipped
it on.
No, I slept through part of it. But I've seen the whole thing before. It's an excellent movie. And if you do, you know, you have to really pay attention to silent movies.
Yes,
you can't
you
go
do.
In the other room because you'll lose track of what's going on.
Yeah, that has a habit of doing, silent movies have a habit of doing that, so... Good thing, you know, silent movie theaters back then didn't have kitchens that you could wander into.
That's true.
It is true.
That's true. So if you want to see a silent film and break into that kind of thing, see Sunrise.
Very good. Very good. Joan?
We saw Lincoln. That's what I've seen recently. That's the most recent movie I've seen.
And?
That's it. I loved it. Kind of already knew the ending, but I loved it.
I still would have preferred that film if he did not have to go to the theater.
I know.
He really didn't.
I kind of felt that way, too. And I was disappointed to find out that his son was at another theater, if that's accurate, that is.
Yes.
That his son was at another theater and heard
that was
about
upsetting
his assassination.
To me.
That was
very
upsetting
to me. I didn't
know
that.
Is that historically
I believe
accurate
it is.
I
it's supposed
it is.
To be.
I have to check. And, of course, his son will eventually grow up and become Robin. Or have Bruce Willis eyebrows in Looper. Joseph Gordon-Levitt humor, very good, lovely. Swimmingly, it's great.
Also.
Yes, Kobe, now if for people who don't have plans tonight.
And that's okay if you don't. I'm stealing
you're
your lines.
You're condescending
all over
me
the
now.
Place.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
No, I'm just.
All right, fine, I'll take one of your. Oh, I hope the Pacers win tonight.
IU Cinema,
yes.
Tonight. 6:30, Free Radicals, A History of Experimental Film. 9:30 tonight, the 2012 foreign language drama Barbara. Tomorrow, Tales of the Night at 3 o'clock, Jaguar at 6:30, and Barbara again at 9:30.
Story about Jacksonville?
No.
No.
No, it's okay. Not at all. Far from it.
Far
actually.
From it. All right.
Sunday, February 10th, Rebel Without a Cause, 3 o'clock, Barbara again at 6:30. And then Monday, for the President's Choice, this week for the President's Choice, we had Woodstock.
That was a cool choice by the IU president.
Yeah, Mr. McRobbie. Going again this week, unlisted concert film number 2 from 1972.
Interesting.
Yes.
And the IMA?
IMA tonight, 7 o'clock, 2001 Space Odyssey.
Ooh, you could smell colors and see sound with that one. One of Bill Walton's favorites. In fact, we have there's going to be another reference to 2001. A little later on in the show. So I said before there was a really good article on Steven Soderbergh, and if you get a chance, I think you can still pick it up. I don't know how long the archives is in the New York Times, but Paul Schrader is one of my favorite filmmakers. Paul Schrader wrote Taxi Driver, did the screenplays for Raging Bull, Last Temptation of Christ. He's also directed films like Blue Collar, Hardcore, Mishima, Cat People, which I watched a couple of months ago, not with the wife. She really doesn't care. Early 80s and Sasha Kinski is not up her bag. Yes, two things. and recently I saw him, I found a film of his. It was, he did, Paul Schrader, Mr. Slagle, did adapted an Elmore Leonard novel into a film.
Oh, really?
Really. He did one called Touch, which starred Skeet Ulrich in his I'm Not Johnny Depp mode, as a gentleman who worked at a homeless shelter in L.A. who could heal people. And, of course, he bleeds from the hands. And he's sought after from everybody from Christopher Walken, Gina Gershon, to Tom Arnold. It's the late 90s. That's why you get a cast like that. Mm-hmm. And he did the screenplay adaptation as well as directing it. And the music by Dave Grohl.
You're
Dave Grohl, really?
Yeah.
No? Mm-mm. Okay. I bring this up because the New York Times had an article in their January 10th issue, and the headline sums it up. Here's what happens when you cast Lindsay Lohan in your movie.
Oh, poor Lindsay Lohan.
Really poor?
Really? No.
Not really. Kind of brought it on herself.
I'm not feeling sorry for
Mom and Dad, of course, not helping.
I just mean
it's a joint effort.
Mess. It's a big mess.
It's a big old mess.
Yeah, it's a big old joint mess. So, but yeah, Schrader worked with her in a film adaptation. It's called The Canyons, and it's, the gentleman who wrote American Psycho, Lesson Zero, and The Imposters. It's one of his stories, and it's a, bad pause. That's terrible. I'm scanning through the article. See, this is here a couple of insight, ladies. Occasionally, we will actually scan through things during the show.
I see.
Or Kobe and I will have production meetings during the show. Like, you know what we should do next week?
You know, it'd be cool.
I know, it'd be cool. We should play that.
Are we just here to fill in those little pauses?
Maybe. Maybe. If I'll nod.
I see now.
So anyway, but it's her and she's cast with, now I don't know, I'm not looking at anybody because I don't expect them to know this either, but apparently there's a adult film actor named James Dean, different spelling. Thank you for laughing. That's good. And apparently it's just a blow-by-blow affair about working with Miss Lohan on a very low budget.
I can't believe you said blow-by-blow.
I did. I'm sorry, shot-by-shot account. Not a twinkle when I said that. So anyway, that's a fascinating read. And God, I hope poor Paul Schrader gets better work, better film sometime. So, all right, let's reconnect. Let's take a short break, and we'll talk about what's new on DVD, and we'll actually have our guests plug things. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show, here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Yeah. What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
One of our favorite musicians, now in comic books.
Yeah, the very end of that intro, that's Wesley Willis. What song is Blockbuster Video on?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
And Tracy's not in the building, so she can't tell us.
No, I mean, I really don't know what song that one.
Okay, so ladies, I guess I'll say, by the way, welcome back to Film Sociology. No, you just didn't turn on the dial. What are you talking about?
Did he have more than one album?
Who, Wesley Willis?
Yes.
Yeah, on Alternative Tentacles.
Wesley Willis?
Oh, yeah, your stock has risen now.
Oh, I remember Wesley Willis.
Budweiser, King of Beer, right?
Rock and Roll McDonald's, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was about to say, if anything, ladies, you will find out about Wesley Willis when you leave Film Sociology. But you already do.
I know.
Ding!
I just didn't realize he had several.
Kobe, look up the Wesley Willis discography. Filmography, that's a different story. But no, as we read in The Onion, which is, of course, one of the top news sources here at Film Sociology.
Excellent.
Hey, the AV Club's really good. But apparently there is a... the latest edition of Wonder Woman comics has a character that looks and sounds, I know comic books don't have sound, a lot like Wesley Willis, playing the half-brother of Wonder Woman.
Yep.
You think I was making up the guacamole cartoon. What about this? So, yeah. Do you have it there?
Holy cow, that's a lot.
He has a lot of albums.
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
there's a ton of stuff.
Is it like Tupac? They have new recordings coming out every 6 months.
No, last thing. Let's see, most recent thing here. Oh wait, here's Greatest Hits Volume 3.
Volume 3.
Bob Dylan has 3 volumes of Greatest Hits. That's tremendous.
But don't you want to know what's on that?
Sure.
Can you tell us? Now remember, we're on the air,
yeah.
So.
Let's see here.
What's on Volume 3? What didn't make Volume 1 and Volume 2? This must be his later work.
Oh, now see, now this is this something is
the intrawebs is acting
up.
Yeah,
this is something's not right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we get back to the show?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, that's good. Hi, welcome back. All right, we go to what's new on DVD and Blu-ray, and really, I had the day off yesterday, and I was really torn. Do I see Here Goes the Boom, the latest Kevin James Fat Man Fall Down Go Boom comedy, or a comical version of the film Warrior, or do I rent Celeste and Jesse Forever? And I wound up renting Celeste and Jesse Forever.
That's the Rashida Jones one, right?
Yes,
it is. It is. Yes, it is. Not only starring the visually stunning Rashida Jones, but she also co-wrote and co-produced this.
Yes,
with everyone's favorite hot rod, Andy Samberg. About a couple who are their very dear friends. They just happen to be going through a divorce. So, and of course, you always hear the term suspension of disbelief. And just a reminder, if you're having marital problems with Rashida Jones, you're an idiot. So there's that. But nice chemistry between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Samberg, I guess you see when an actor will do a big budget movie and then they'll do a smaller picture. So I guess in order to do this film, he had to appear with Adam Sandler, and that's my boy. I'm guessing. I'm guessing maybe. I don't know which came first. Doesn't really matter. But he's an artist. She's a trend analyst.
Right.
And the first 10 minutes of the film, it looks like just a regular couple, nice montage, nice aughts. Early teens, you know, alternative music. And then we find out in the dinner conversation that they're going through a divorce, even though it's the most clean breakthrough in the history of breakups, or so we think. And as time goes on, it starts to unravel. Some people become...
Do we find out over time that things are a little more complicated than what they seem?
Things are a little more complicated as they seem.
Precisely.
Only with no ironic... power ballads from the 80s involved. So
that's what was missing. I knew something was missing.
80s ballads, the 80s power ballads. We don't need it. Is it Love by Whitesnake or Warren? No, we don't need any of those. No, thank you. Saw it the first time. Suffered through it. All right. But obviously, in some cases, one of them is on a more emotional higher plane than others, and they just keep going back and forth. So you got to see this as well?
I saw it, yes.
Your thoughts?
Well, it was odd because I went to see that with my ex-husband. So it's kind of a couple that's trying to remain friends that were married.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of weird that we had selected that movie.
But you both mutually.
Yes.
But you knew the subject matter going in?
Sort of, but not really.
Okay.
That's all clear,
woman.
Right?
Yes. You're a braver woman than I.
It was good. I hope so. I really hope that I am.
You are.
I was kind of crushed when the girlfriend got pregnant, when his girlfriend, I wanted this couple to get back together.
Right. And for its credit, being, I think, a smaller picture, yeah, I know I'm making fun of bigger pictures, there isn't a clear-cut case on if they will or if they won't. You know, a lot of romantic comedies, you see the ending coming
right
by the end of the opening credits. And this one, not the case.
No.
So kudos for that.
Yeah.
So
I was emotionally invested.
All right.
I liked it a lot.
Very good.
I like those smaller, more unusual.
This is unusual, and there's a kind of a weird subplot where Jones has to work with a Pop-Tart singer played by Emma Roberts.
Yes.
And usually those are times where you need to go use the restroom or get more popcorn because it's just a secondary thing, not really moving the couple's story along. And it actually works out pretty well.
I agree with you.
So and again, like kind of like Sandler from time to time, when you have an actual director or an independent director that actually has thoughts and ideas and not just flipping the camera on and saying, do some crazy stuff and we'll take the best of it. It was interesting seeing Sandberg actually take some direction shock. He's playing a man child who's not quite growing up yet, living in, I know, as an
Shocker.
Artist. Yeah. Shocker indeed. So anyway, that is also out there. So go.
Now that was a good movie.
It was a good movie. So Kobe, get ready to pull the this is the other thing, because he doesn't know. I was going to introduce a new segment, not a new segment, but a recurring segment, and it's usually the intro is never ready. So, especially with company. But let me go around the table so you have time to set this up. So, Joan.
Yes.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
So, you started here when?
Monday.
So, a riveting 5 days.
A riveting 5 days, and I'm still alive.
You're still alive. You've had to follow Mr. Slagle around.
Those are some hard shoes to fill. Just saying.
Yeah, the heels are 3 inches too. where? Because you don't wear heels, you're Kobe. Where were you at before you came here?
Actually, I had just gone back to work after being a stay-at-home mom. Actually, before this, I was working as a teacher in a Montessori school.
What did you teach?
It was 3, 4, and 5-year-olds.
Wow.
So I don't get hugs and kisses at work now, but it's all right.
You could, but people will lose jobs.
Either, so, yeah, they're not as sticky and moist as they were at the preschool.
You taught Montessori here in town?
Yes. Yeah.
Northeast?
No, on the south side.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, and then before that, I was in radio and television for a few years and stopped to have a family.
Here in town?
Yep, absolutely.
Can you tell us which other stations, not ours?
I worked for WTTV. I worked for, I did voice work for Q95. I did news for WNDE and was on the air at WIRE eons ago. And then I produced the Hoosier Millionaire Show and the Riley Telethon.
Very cool. Good to have you here.
Thanks.
And she'll be taking Kobe's old job, which is producing the drives.
Pledge drives, yes.
Pledge drives. So you'll be seeing a lot of us.
I'm sure I will. Ooh, just
boy.
Be easy on me.
Like Sunday morning. So.
Thanks, Lon.
Thank you, ladies. So, ladies, 20th anniversary of Comedy Sports tomorrow night at the Athenaeum. So, I'm curious, how long have you two? You've been from the very beginning, right? That's the ring.
Yes.
You have a 20-year-old ring.
Yes. And Lynn's going to get one tomorrow. And Ed.
You're also 20.
Right.
Lynn and Ed and I started Comedy Sports.
That's right, because our beloved Nouveau ran a younger picture of the three of you.
Yeah. Yes. You know. Thank you for noticing.
Ed has no facial hair. It was, well, a baby.
It seemed like a bit of a lie, but I loved it. Yeah. We all looked so young.
Yes. Yes. So you're saying we don't look, Lynn and I don't look like that to you anymore.
Oh, you always do in my heart and my eyes.
Yes, 20 years.
In that order.
20 years of Comedy Sports. We are, Comedy Sports, of course, is located at 721 Massachusetts Avenue.
That's right.
And actually started Comedy Sports 20 years ago down at Fountain Square when Theater on the Square was in Fountain Square. And then we were on the west side, 30th and Kessler for a while. And in 1998 or 99. Thank you, Lynn.
You're welcome.
We moved.
That's why I'm
to our Mass Ave location where we remain today. We're there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights.
Now, were there other Comedy Sports branches before Indy, or did they all pop up? Okay, so I'm curious. How did you three know each other before, or how did the trio start?
Yeah, actually, we were part of another improv group before Comedy Sports called Below the Belt. So if you knew anything about improv...
They also have blow-by-blow sketches. So
kind of did, yeah. So if you know anything about improv in Indianapolis, way back when, you would know Below the Belt. So we were doing improv and sketch comedy back then. We met... me and Ed were doing some... had done some theater together before, and I just auditioned for Below the Belt. And so... We at one point we met a man named Randy Smock, who was from Chicago, who had done Comedy Sports up in Chicago, and he introduced the format of Comedy Sports to us, and we turned into Comedy Sports in Indianapolis.
Okay, so for those who don't know, and really you should really get off your butts and go check them out. Now Comedy Sports, it's not just comedy, it's sports. With the Z.
It's a sport. That's right.
there's a pinstripes and a scoreboard. I'm serious.
No.
And there's points and stats and everything. You'd be a great stat nerd there, sir. So so tell folks the format for a match.
Well, we have a referee, which acts like an MC. If you've ever seen the show Whose Line Is It Anyway, we are a lot like that. We take suggestions from the audience, and we play improv games. We make things up on the spot. So we have a red team and a blue team and the referee. And the referee will take suggestions from the audience, and the red team will get up and play an improv game based on those suggestions. And then the blue team will get up and take new suggestions, play a different improv game, and the audience gets to decide which team was funniest. And we award points, which hang on our big scoreboard.
Yeah, the big board.
The big scoreboard. So Comedy Sports is a sporting event, actually.
But it's not about sports. It's about
anything and everything. Yes.
It's
so you
about
get
everything.
You get stuff from the audience. Just remember, folks, you're a part of the show. You're not the entire show. That's me saying this. So, yeah, don't have 9 drinks and go in there and think you can go up on stage and perform. It's just not the case.
That's not the case. You're right. But we do have drinks. Speaking of that.
you just shouldn't have 9 of them.
No,
not going in and not during. Definitely.
That's true.
But you can come bring the kids. It's all ages. And yes.
Yes, that's the other thing. You have there's the brown bag. So
which there are fouls that can be called during the match. The referee can call the brown bag foul, which is called on the audience members or the athletes.
The occasional slip, so to
speak.
The
occasional slip. You have to wear a brown paper bag over your head for the remainder of the scene.
And by the way, Kobe, no, I haven't. I know you're thinking it. So,
do you have proof of that, Matt?
Do you have proof of it, Lynn?
No. Probably.
No, because I would remember. Because I would sit and I would feel shame, and then I would go.
And then there's a groaner foul in case something just doesn't go quite right. It makes the audience groan. The offending performer has to get up and apologize, and they lose a point for their team.
We should apologize every week.
We could call groaner fouls here if you like.
You played with us before because we have pictures of you. We were putting pictures together for our 20th anniversary.
I was about to say, I was thinking about, and I've had, in the world of Comedy Sports, for me, it's like, if you remember the original Ocean's 11, I'm more like Norman Fell or Henry Silva. You know, it's not Dean, Sammy, and Peter. And not definitely not Angie Dickinson, but that guy is on the end.
On the fringe.
On the way fringe. Pawn. Pawn on the chess set of the Rat Pack chess set. So
I think you must
did I play?
I don't know, but you must have done very well because we had you up on the stage afterward getting pictures taken with the teams. And if you hadn't done well, we would have said great things.
Go away.
And
yes, you would have.
Like, so you did a good
job. Gosh, that's okay. And the other thing is, I always forget. I always remember. I should say, and I always am thankful because Comedy Sports, in its own way, also got my my Indianapolis directing career started because I directed my first play, which was one I had written called "Yearning for Dogberry," and I did it with the other one act play written and directed by Woody Rao.
Fire at the North Pole.
No, it was before that.
It was
that.
I know what you're
he's going to kill me because I feel terrible. But it was also his version of off Shakespeare. But we did it in the summer on Comedy Sports' stage. So there was that,
good.
And then Woody brought me in for Santa Is Dead and the Santa Monologues.
Right.
So also got to invade your space a couple times. So I'm always. Never forget that. Always thankful, and I'm glad to know I'm in the team photo. Just way off. Get him up on the balcony up there.
You're always welcome.
Welcome
at Comedy
anytime.
Sports.
You're just saying that because the mics are on.
A little.
I know. So, what's happening tomorrow night?
So tomorrow night we are just celebrating our 20 years of laughing and improvising.
How many members have gone through? How many teams?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. We've got about we've got close to 50 people right now. It takes 8 people to do a show.
And a village to raise a family.
And thank you. And so we've got about 50 current performers, and all of them we're all getting dressed up as improvisers and comedians. You don't get a lot of opportunity to do that.
Shirts with buttons. I've heard
about
these.
Yes, sequins, tuxedos, all that kind of thing. We're gonna
sequin
have
tuxedos.
Yes,
it is your mass.
It's probably gonna
happen. You may see that. And we're rolling out a red carpet. We'll have red carpet interviews. We will have photographers taking pictures for everyone. Everyone that all of our guests that come, we want them to have their pictures taken, and we'll have red carpet interviews.
Get ready, Cope.
And then everyone is going to be invited into the Athenaeum Theater, and we're going to have an award show, much like the Oscars, probably funnier
and shorter,
and shorter,
yes.
And more booze.
Maybe so. There is a cash bar available at the Athenaeum.
All right, possibly more.
And so about a 45-minute award show, and then Lynn and Ed and myself and Woody Rao, who has been with us for 20 years.
Yes.
Dave Ruark is the other person who has been with us for 20 years, but he's in another show.
He's busy.
He's busy.
Singing.
And so Dave's not in the show, but Woody, Lynn, Ed, and I are going to take on some of the winners from the awards show, people who win. Best musical improviser, best referee. The best referee will be rough the match.
Good idea.
So it's going to be fun. We're going to have a comedy sports match. The old timers against some of the newer people.
Young punks.
And we give service awards too. The ring is, if you've been with us for 20 years, there are 5 of us that will have the ring. But we also give service awards for people who've been with us for 5, 10, 15 years.
Very cool. Very cool. So yeah, there's still a few seats left. I can tell you that much. But you will see the Film Sociology crew there. Yes.
Yeah.
So
good.
It'll be a lot of fun. Definitely
awesome.
Definitely worth
I
checking
am very
out.
Excited.
Are you? Are you 98% of college men?
Stoked.
Yes.
And then after that, we're headed down to our own theater for a private after party.
After the show, it's the after party.
Mm-hmm.
See you at the party.
See at the party.
Cool. So there you go. So now, in general, now I every Friday and Saturday night,
and Thursday,
because we start the weekends on Thursday here in Indy.
Absolutely.
So where can people go for more information?
www.indycomedysports.com.
Sorry, don't do it on S. Everybody does that.
No, that's wrong.
It's dead
it's just
wrong.
That's not wacky.
So yes, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, and also on Saturday at 10:00.
What's the one game that each of you think of when it comes to your history? I mean, are there a handful that come to mind? One where everybody was on fire, everybody was hitting threes, as they would say in the basketball world.
That's a groaner foul.
Shut up.
Says this referee.
Shut up.
We have a signature kind of game called Five Things, which is a guessing game. It's all, we get five very unusual activities and someone goes out of the room and their teammates, without telling the whole thing, but their teammate has to give them clues to get the activities and actually do the activities. It's our signature game. And that's the one I always think of as one of my very favorites, because when everybody is really on, it's just on fire. Which is most of the time. and the audience really gets into it, and they absolutely love it. And it's just such a rush for everybody in the entire room when that does really well, which is, again, most of the time.
Wow, you've never done that. So, Mia, is there a game that comes to mind when you with your experience?
Well, she's correct. Five Things is the signature game. It's the most fun to play. I think it's the most fun to watch.
Especially because everybody is... verbally counting when are you going to hit all five.
Yes. My favorite comedy sports game has forever been replay, where you do a 1 minute neutral scene and you replay it in three different either emotions or musical styles, three different genres, three different film styles. That's fun. Forward reverse, where you start the scene in forward and the referee can rewind it, fast forward it. That's always fun. There are a lot of games. There are thousands of improv games. So we're playing new ones all of the time.
I would say, how long does a game stay in rotation? Like, are there games that have been with you since the very beginning?
Oh, yes.
There like really what? Are. Slow-mo. Forward reverse is a game that's been around for probably as long as we've been doing comedy sports, but it's such an interesting game, and it's never the same. Improv is never the same from one
never
night to the
next. Same game twice. You'll never see the same comedy sports match twice.
Correct.
Because it's really all based on audience suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
So and improv games are constantly being created, and those usually come out of practice. You know, we'll be practicing something, or somebody will be driving in their car and they'll think of a great improv game and they bring it to us at practice, and we either turn it into an improv game or a warm-up.
Mm-hmm.
So
it is like sports. They even practice.
Absolutely.
You know, we're talking about practice.
We're not talking about the playoffs. We're talking about a game.
There is no comedy sports equivalent of Allen Iverson. At least we hope not. So, because it's bleeding hard work. I've seen it. So, do you guys still do classes?
We do. We do adult workshops. We do spring, summer, fall, and winter workshops. You can find out all about that also at www.indiecomedysports.com with a Z. That we didn't have that one quite together. Sorry.
No, I stopped because you didn't say Z.
Oh, well, I was wrong.
But it's okay.
Thanks.
She got it in there.
Or call us at
Deep Breath
951-8499. Anyone in the office will be glad to help you. And
no, keep going.
Great workshops for adults. You want to think faster on your feet? You have to make a presentation.
I have seen the advert trail on YouTube we've seen you at corporate events and schools. So. Because it is team building as well.
Absolutely. Group unity training seminars. We do that a lot. Conflict resolution, team building within your group. It's very fun. It's a fun way to learn.
It is fun. So there you go. Cobe?
Yep.
All right.
What?
I have a segment that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
We'll see which intro you pulled.
Doing our the annual show of dead people we like.
there's a pretty big one this
we
week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
No, we don't have time for dead people we don't like. So that's just a really poorly tasted way of saying Hollywood obits. So this is, of course, we will see actually in a couple of weeks if these folks make the dead montage. Because that happens at the Academy Award. You know that's what it's called. It's not official, but it's there.
Yeah.
You know something. Okay, we got to realize it's a dead montage.
You don't think they sit around and say, in memoriam?
No.
That's
no,
what the file's called on some guy's desktop. Deadmontage.mov.
Burst my bubble.
I also call it, that guy died? Really?
Well, okay, so we have a couple of that guys, I think. Well, first of Garrett Lewis. who is an Oscar-nominated set director, passed at the age of 77. Because they will get some non-actors, writers, and producers in there. So, set director who earned Academy Award nominations for Beaches, Glory, Hook, and Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Those are big.
Very similar.
Very big. Very big. So I started going through. This is
that
what
the
I,
one, is that the one with Keanu Reeves? And
yes, that's the one directed by Francis Coppola.
Yeah, weird.
Weird. Yeah, no. Yeah. Very cool Gary Oldman. Very loud Anthony Hopkins. Very not dead Winona Ryder.
Right.
So fascinating. And very bug-eating Tom Waits. That's a thing. See, there's a lot of good, bad, and ugly in that single film. I might have to revisit that because... But you won't watch it.
I watched it once. I'm
really
seen it. Yeah.
Mr. Slagle is sorry. I'm filling in opening up the vault here at Film Society. Mr. Slagle is not a scary or freaky movie fan.
Yep.
And you still hang out with the show.
Neither's Lynn.
I'm not really either.
Well, yeah, but I don't force weird movies upon you.
He made me watch Blue Velvet.
I made you watch Blue Velvet. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I like old school scary. I don't like bloody.
Right.
She can't watch anything with vomit.
I can't watch vomit.
So Monty Python's The Meaning of Life, you can't watch
never
that?
Never saw it.
You've never, really?
No, I heard too much about it before.
That's one sketch. You could watch the rest of the film.
And well, I could do that.
Okay. Really?
But you know, this may be why I don't go to a lot of current films, because I don't like gore and I don't like vomit.
There's just people vomiting in all the movies.
I know Lincoln.
Yeah, they need to have that, like with the rated R. They need to say some.
Oh no,
some
no, no!
Vomit.
They already
vomit.
Put in some vomit.
Some vomit.
And you don't dust for vomit, as Spinal Tap tells you.
You can't
so.
Deny that there's a lot of vomit in a lot of comedy these days.
Yes.
And other.
Yeah, that's true.
Other
Stand By Me. You
body
can watch that.
Liquids.
Oh, I had
Bar from Rama.
I have to turn away when that comes on. Yeah.
I have to turn away from that film because it's too whiny. But anyway.
Well, I did only see it once, I think.
So I looked through IMDb, which is another reliable source here at Film Sociology. This is what I love about Garrett Lewis. As a set decorator, first thing Garrett Lewis worked on, the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oh, my God. Oh, my.
And still got work. So went from that to Academy Award nominations.
It's a big leap.
That is a big leap. Well, these are some of the films. So, and, of course, these might be winding up on your Netflix queue anytime very soon. But some of these remember. Pennies from Heaven. Oh. 1981 musical with Steve Martin, Bernadette Peters, and Christopher Walken.
Yes.
That's right. Directed by Herbert Ross. Max Dugan Returns. Mm-hmm. Which I always remember. Jason Robards, Marsha Mason, young Matthew Broderick, and Donald Sutherland. Against All Odds, Jeff Bridges, and Rachel Ward. Yes. American Flyers, Kevin Costner on bicycles.
Right.
Ray Dong Chong. Sweet Dreams.
Oh, that was...
Jessica Lange as...
Patsy Cline.
That's right. So, and she didn't... No, she did not do her singing on that one because Sissy Spacek did do her own singing.
Oh, yeah.
And Beverly D'Angelo did Patsy Cline
in
Coal
Miner's Daughter. Very good. Yes. So that's right. So, and people who karaoke, stop singing Patsy Cline, please.
Because nobody can.
Nobody can, and nobody should. Except for Sapphire the Uppity Blues Women, but that's another story. Set design for Short Circuit.
Oh, Short Circuit.
Yeah. Crimes of the Heart.
Ooh. Yeah,
that's
for
a good one.
Theater, Beaches we talked about, Steel Magnolias.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of big hair. That's a lot of
yes,
set designing, for, set decorating for big hair. Mm-hmm. Glory, Pretty Woman, Misery.
Oh,
ooh!
Had the set decorate that Sledgehammer.
Great.
You haven't seen Misery either, have you?
Nope.
Oh, you have to see it.
She said so.
Oh, yeah.
And thus the segment was born.
You have to see it.
I like it.
Let's see, Backdraft. Malice, Mrs. Doubtfire, The Shadow, that's the second Shadow reference today, Disclosure, 9 months, that's right, because it's a film where Michael Douglas is saying no to a woman, that's fiction.
Right, right.
9 months, Eraser, Face Off, Enemy of the State, Bedazzled, which still should have won an Academy Award for Best Costume Design, We Are Men, Hear Us Oink. I Am Sam, Panic Room, Hidalgo, and Wedding Crashers. So that's most of Mr. Lewis.
That's quite a career.
Yeah.
Not a bad career there. And then we also have Stuart Freeborn, who died at the age of 98, who did movie makeup, most notably Star Wars. So
in
did,
2001.
Yeah, did start so second 2001 reference here at Film Sociology. And apparently the story goes, which we heard this week on NPR, was that he should have been up for an Academy Award nomination for 2001 and was not because nobody believed that those were actors. It's that good. You haven't seen 2001?
I have not.
Add it to the list.
I've seen...
Everybody's seen off-branches and homages and the monolith and the primates.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen the whole thing.
That's okay. We'll work on that.
A lot of long sequences. A
lot of long sequences. And the Blue Danube. And HAL 9000, everybody's favorite computer. Better than that one. So, other noted films he worked on, Bridge on the River Kwai, mm-hmm. which means he got to apply makeup to William Holden. Nice. Way to go, big fella. the Charles Chaplin film, A King in New York, The Mouse That Roared, Dr. Strangelove.
Ah.
So he got to do all of the Peter Sellers makeup.
Wow.
That's really cool. 2001, Murder on the Orient Express.
Mm. Awesome.
Another good one.
Good handlebar mustache for Albert Finney. The Omen, the first three Star Wars films, and, of course, Superman through 1-4. So
good career.
Good career right there. So that's what we do here at Film Sociology.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. That set designer and that makeup artist. So not too bad of work. Do we have what is Kobe watching this week or no?
No, I don't think I saw anything. I didn't see anything.
Okay. We got to work on that. Yeah. You still have a pile of DVDs.
Yes. I know.
And we've just been you've just been told now you have to watch Misery
and which 2001 Space
and 2001. I don't think the same night.
That's, I could go to the IMA tonight and watch 2001.
You could.
I could.
You should.
Maybe I will.
What are you doing tonight?
Watching the Pacers.
That's right. They're going to beat Toronto, right?
Yep.
You hope?
I know. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen because they haven't lost a home game.
They haven't lost 15 home game. Straight home wins.
Terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Give Psycho T our best.
Yep.
And Little Ben.
Little Ben?
I don't know. What do we... Hi, ladies. Sorry, we're just talking basketball here in the last minute of the show. Do we have words to live by?
We do have words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
So you can see the ladies at Comedy Sports as well as us in the audience. Tomorrow night, red carpets at 6, awards at 7, match at 8. So, ladies, thank you for hanging out, and sorry for being a guest on our show.
Our pleasure.
Thank you, dear,
thank
ladies.
You.
And of course, when you notice that the Pledge Drive shows are much smoother, Joan's the reason why. So, thank you very much,
go,
Kobe.
Joan, go.
Yeah, oh, Kobe. I'll see you tomorrow on the red carpet with Fair Sweet Bianca.
Hey, we'll be on the red carpet.
We'll be on the red carpet. Hi. Don't bring Joan and Melissa. They should go away. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. Pistons win one, for crying out loud.
We gone. Good night, Fort Myers.